Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Tritton as we are broadcasting again from the Palms. We got a big show coming up for today as we'll be talking all of the spring sports that got underway this past week as well. Baseball, softball, and tennis got on to their fields of competition, and the men's and women's basketball had a big day on Saturday as they both came up with wins against Fort Hays State. Again, with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. Matt, that was a fun afternoon of basketball at Bearcat Arena on Saturday.
Yeah, that was big. The Northwest women knocking off a ranked team at home for the first time since 2017. A really good Fort Hays program. And on the men's side, you just know these are two of the best teams in the conference, two of the best in the country. The Bearcats finding a way to get it done in double overtime. That was a blast for that 50 minutes of basketball we got there. So really a very fun Saturday, of course, capped by two Bearcat wins.
Yeah, and things didn't look good at one particular point late in the first overtime when Northwest was down by three. They had a drive to the bucket, and Isaiah Jackson was able to hit the shot and got fouled and got to the free throw line, hit the free throw to tie it up and send it into an extra overtime, or one more overtime. So just a lot of dramatic plays in that entire game, and two very good teams, two very good defensive teams, and they just battled it out. Northwest found a way to pick up the win.
You do see, I think, in overtime the time that the first couple buckets, whoever gets after that lead, they just kind of get down to the other team. It's hard to battle back. You're exhausted. You've already played 40 minutes. It takes a little bit to get back into it, so you get that two-possession lead, hard to overcome in a short five-minute period. You saw Northwest get down 55-51, battle back and tie it. Got down again by three, as you mentioned, and with 8 seconds left, Isaiah able to come back and tie it up with the and one. So just kind of got a feel for just how resilient this Bearcat men's basketball team is, how good they are to battle through such a tough defense and find a way to get that win.
And Wes Dreamer got some big buckets in that second overtime.
Yeah, Wes really came alive, and a guy that's beat up on a daily basis. He leaves it all out there, playing over 40 minutes in a game like that, but still finding a way to get it done. So, and that's what you expect out of a senior leader, a guy that's, the Bevo Francis watch list, and expect to be one of the best in the country. He really came through, and it mattered most.
Yeah, he certainly did in that women's game, a very big win against a very good Fort Hays State women's team.
Yep, the Tigers have really owned Northwest in recent years. The Bearcats able to come out and took control early, a 13-0 run. The Bearcats got up big at halftime, and you knew Fort Hays was going to have a wave in them. They're going to find a way to start to come back. They got within eight as the third quarter ended, but then Northwest punched right back, made it back to a 15-point advantage, and never looked back from there. So a really good team win for this team that now you go on the road. Not easy to play at Emporia or at Washburn, but you feel like this team's kind of hitting that their next stride, if you will, as we're heading the late portion of the season.
And for the men on the road, again, open up with an Emporia team tomorrow night that really, I think, from a talent standpoint, has as much talent, if not more, than most teams in the MIAA. But once they've got into the conference season, then they've had some losses that kind of showed that, I guess, the kind of the balance of the conference where anybody can beat anybody on a given night. I know that's kind of a trite statement, but that's been especially true with the Emporia State this year.
You know, at times I think they've run into some injury issues that have slowed them down a little bit, too. But, yeah, you're right. Once things have kind of worked against them, it's been hard for them to dig their way out. So a team that we expected to probably be right around the top 25 all year long has just had a tough go of it. But they're so good. We've seen them at White Auditorium many times, and it's a tough place to play. So you expect that one. You know what? They might be looking and saying, all right, tournament hopes are slimming down as we get closer and closer to the postseason. But if Northwest comes to town, not to poo-poo on them, but it is kind of everyone's national championship, just how good the Bearcats have been. That's a marquee win. So they're looking at this saying, you know what, it's been rough to this point. Put that behind us. Let's focus on the Bearcats and try to steal one.
And on Saturday, an interesting matchup with the Washburn men's team that's playing pretty well.
Yeah, they've got some big wins this year, too, and Coach Ballard has them heading in the right direction. And another team that always seems to play Northwest awfully close, and that's tough to go in there in Topeka. The Bearcats have won a lot of games there, but all of them pretty tooth and nail, some overtime games too, so you expect that one in Topeka on Saturday to be tight.
Some of the spring sports got their seasons underway, and really for the most part I think pretty successful with all those that got out and got into action this weekend.
Yeah, men's and women's tennis both rolling through UMSL on Sunday down in St. Joseph. So Coach Rosie's club heading in the right direction. The softball team, boy, the bats really came alive there, leading the MIAA in a slew of categories, including batting average and home runs and slugging percentage. And so they're 3-2 coming off the weekend. Baseball went down to Christian Brothers. They come away with a split, winning two games, and they got the bats going early. And so, you know, we think about all these teams that play outdoors but not getting to practice outdoors really throughout the entire offseason to this point, really stepped it up and really performed well. So kind of exciting to see. All right, round two comes up, another weekend coming up. How do these teams go from here?
Well, and while all this is going on, football will be back in the news and is back in the news here today. Tomorrow will be the National Signing Day, and we'll have a special program tomorrow at 11 with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, as he'll talk about all the incoming freshmen that will be coming into the program that they'll be signing and be able to release that tomorrow. But really, the big news here today, it's officially announced the schedule for the 2024 season, and that includes week zero game on August 29th against Minnesota State.
You know, that's something we've seen Division I teams do for quite a few years, with the chance to play that week zero, if you will, in that late August game and kind of get things rolling, and now Division II able to get in there and start to do that. And so Northwest finding this non-conference game, which is really good. You consider that Lincoln's leaving the conference, Northeastern is stepping away and not being a football member of the league anymore. So we'll still see Northeastern State on the schedule at this point, but the Bearcats able to work in another non-conference game, boost up that strength of schedule. And also, you know, from our perspective too, we look at it's fun to see new teams, different styles of play, some different teams from around the country. And of course, you know, we've seen Minnesota State quite a few times in the playoffs. Typically, it feels like the last time around in 2012 up in Mankato, Minnesota. So there have been some good matchups there. So excited to have the Mavericks at Bearcat Stadium on August 29th to start the season.
Yeah, and that's been a matchup through the years. The Northwest has opened up with Minnesota State in the past, back when they were known as Mankato State. Some very nice home-and-home series in non-conference action there. So it's good to see them back on the schedule. And then a couple other highlights. Emporia State will be a family weekend on September 28th, and homecoming set for October 19th with Central Missouri.
Some good games there, and you look at two teams that tied for the MIAA title last season, both coming here to Maryville this year, in Central Missouri and Pittsburgh State. Pittsburgh State being the regular season finale. Some big-time football games up and down. This is going to be a fun schedule.
Yeah, it certainly is, and we'll have it right here on KXCV, KRNW. So we've got a lot coming up here on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we talk about men's and women's basketball and all the spring sports coming up. All this coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from The Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the Palms for the KXEV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking Northwest Missouri State softball as the Bearcats off to a 3-2 start this season. They opened up with wins over Wachita Baptist and Henderson State, rounded out the weekend with the win over Henderson State. A couple losses in between Southwestern Oklahoma State and Arkansas Monticello. Head coach Naomi Tejas with us today, as well as a pair of her players. We have the Sultans of SWAT, the Queens of Clash, the Bash Sisters, if you will.
Yeah, there you go.
Lauren Gray and Abby Nolte. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. You're expecting nicknames right off the bat, too, weren't you? I was kind of going through that one in my head. Obviously, three home runs in the opener for Lauren. That's a Northwest Missouri State record. Abby coming out with seven RBIs in the weekend finale. That ties a Northwest record. Coach Tejas, overall, it was a great weekend, but these two in particular really came out and shined.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we talked last week a little bit of, you know, kind of filling the holes of our seniors that left us last year, and these two just came out swinging and, I mean, didn't leave any doubt in our minds, that's for sure.
And you were kind of hoping that they'd take on these different roles, of course, but could you have imagined with – did you guys have any swings outside before?
No.
But, I mean,
first time.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun to see. I mean, I think for both of them, too, just the confidence that they had up there, like, you knew that they were going to have a good result regardless of, you know, what pitch was coming.
Northwest Missouri State through five games, a lot of season left, but pretty impressive to this point, leading the MIAA in batting average, home runs, on base percentage, and slugging percentage, just to name a few. Abby, you kind of think about that and what you two in particular did. What's that say about this offense early on? Of that's a confidence booster as we move throughout the rest of the spring.
I feel like that just is going to, you know, show and just continue down the road. We know that we can do it, so I feel like we're just going to take that and just, you know, build off that and bring that into conference and, you know, these other tournaments that we have before we start conference. So I think it's really promising.
You couldn't have started the season any better. A single and a home run, that was the first for Lauren on the day. Lauren, do you remember that at bat very well, of kind of going through of what you're thinking, two runners on, an RBI situation, then obviously you hit the bomb?
Yeah, I was just trying to, I felt really locked in during my at-bats. I worked a lot in the off season of being really disciplined during my at-bats, and so I went into this tournament looking for my pitches and just being really locked in and disciplined at the plate, and it worked out.
When you step up and you're looking for your pitches, are you thinking, all right, no strikes on you throughout the count, the box is here? Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, one strike, two strikes, maybe it widens out so you can cover more of the play. But how does that approach change as a count goes?
First, I'm like, I have to look for exactly my pitch. And if it's not, I'm not going to swing at it. And then it definitely does get bigger as the count goes on. But then sometimes I still have to remind myself, like, they still have to throw a strike in the situation. Like, I don't want to be chasing anything no matter what.
Coach, she gets no home run number two and then comes back up, I think, in the sixth inning and hits the solo bomb.
Yep.
Do you get a little greedy at that point? Like, go ahead and hit a third.
I was really surprised that they threw to her, you know, with the solo. I was like, why? I mean, after two, the second one was a no-doubter. So I'm like, at this point, why even throw to her? But they did, and that's fine. And that also was a no-doubter. So,
did you feel like you left something out there by not hitting that fourth home run?
Yeah. I was like, shoot.
The critics always, right? Yeah. Abby, on your side, a great week overall, but then you wrap things up, a seven RBI day, and what, you drive in one, you come back up the next time around, another single drives in two, and then the grand slam really breaks things open. What was your approach in that at-bat, and with one out and the bases loaded, you kind of knew they were coming to you, right?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, try to stay relaxed up at the plate. I knew that, you know, my job was to drive in just, you know, at least one run, you know, and, you know, got to give hats off to my other teammates, you know, for even getting on base, because wouldn't have even had all these RBIs, you know, without them, you know, doing their job, getting on base. But, yeah, I feel like, I don't know.
Well, and that leads kind of into the next point, too, the table setters. How much does that change what the pitcher's doing whenever there are runners on first or first and second, and knowing that there are some big hitters up?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they're maybe a little more stressed out or like a little anxious about, you know, having all these runners on base, or like, oh God, I can't make a mistake and all this kind of stuff. But I feel like we've done a really good job at capitalizing on those mistakes, or, you know, hitting them those marginal pitches that we can and making something happen out of that.
Yeah, and I think that our one and two in the lineup have definitely done us a really great job of getting on base, so then Abby and I can come up and try to bring them in. They've done a really great job with that.
Well, Lily in particular, whenever you see that on base percentage, as crazy as it is, I mean, you kind of sit there and just, you hate to put that on her of like, you're going to be on base, we'll find a way. And then, but Coach, you kind of look at it like, it's just that lineup card is so easy to fill out when you do know number one, two, three.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, having speed at the top of our lineup too also creates havoc on defense. Like, they don't have to find a gap. Like, they can just touch it and run and make you fumble it. And, you know, from a pitching and defensive perspective, that adds pressure because now you have to be perfect.
Has Coach kind of talked about her home run hitting prowess and like how you're trying to reach those bar?
No.
Every year I'm going to do something.
I know.
Well, really, Lauren, every game you come away with an RBI, and we're talking about the players ahead of you, but situational hitting, that's so important. You're a senior. You've been around the college game for a while. You transferred to Northwest, and you're two with the Bearcats. How have you grown as a softball player over the years?
I think that it's been a journey of believing in myself and having a lot of confidence. And I think that sometimes stepping up to the plate, the nerves can sometimes overwhelm you. And so I think that through the years, especially this year, I feel like I can step into the box and I almost have like a clarity. Like, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I've been here for 4 years now. I feel a sense of confidence and like belonging of like, I know that I'm in the box for a reason.
On the flip side, too, defensively, on the roster, you're listed as catcher / outfielder. But
we have to keep that on there just in case.
Just in case. And to this point, I think you caught, what, 3 games over the weekend, a couple designated player. But primarily being behind the plate, does that kind of just knowing where you're going to be at, where you're going to be penciled in, having that communication with coach just kind of also ease things on that side?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, do you not want to play outfield? Is coach just trying to find a way to get you in on the field?
I always tell them if they can hit, I'll find a spot for them. Her first year, she played in the outfield every single game.
I mean,
so hey.
Hey, and she's making diving catches out there.
Yeah,
so.
You kind of look out. You never know.
Hey, if the bat goes, you'll be just fine.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Coach, this weekend, heading on down to Wichita Falls, Texas, you've got 5 coming up. How do you look at this one compared to that opening weekend of, we don't really know, we haven't been outdoors yet, so now there's a little bit more on tape and what you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, from a hitting standpoint, our confidence is there, and can we maintain it? From a defensive perspective, you know, I don't think we played the cleanest, but we definitely can improve on that. And from a pitching perspective, you know, I try to not be so harsh, but, you know, we had a lot of walks. Yes, the weather was a huge factor. I think it rained all day on Saturday, but, you know, limiting our walks, and so that way we can, you know, when our offense does produce, that we can shut it down in 5 innings and move on to the next.
How do you go about making sure that you put a little bit more pressure on the pitching when it needs to happen, but also you allow the confidence to not be drained too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of a fine line to walk, but I think, you know, getting our feet wet right away, you know, Olivia, our freshman coming out, and even our transfer and Hayden coming back, you know, all of that, those jitters are out, you know, so now we just go play.
You've got Northwestern Oklahoma State to start things off. Cameron, a couple times you get a rematch with Southwestern Oklahoma State before wrapping it up with Midwestern. Is Southwestern one in particular kind of circle and say, we let that one go?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that one left a really bad taste in our mouth, and I was just talking to them before. Like, we get a rematch. Like, let's go stick it to them.
Heading to Falls, Texas. Do you like heading south? It's a long bus trip.
It is a long bus trip, but it's warm, and it's, I mean, even though we had rain, it was on turf, so we got all the games in.
There you go.
Can't complain.
Find a way to get it done. Yeah. Northwest softball back on the road this upcoming weekend. What are we going to name the duo officially? Have you come up with something?
We'll think about it.
We'll come back
we
next
have 8
week.
Hours on a bus to figure it out. 16
and 16 back and forth. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Someone will come up with something good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Coach, Abby, Lauren, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State softball on the road in the Mustang Roundup down at Wichita Falls, Texas. That was head coach Naomi Tejas and seniors Lauren Gray and Abby Nolte. We'll step aside and be back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV, KRNW, comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424. Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the KXEV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we turn our attention to baseball. Joined now by the head coach of the Bearcats, Darren Lowe, along with right fielder Caden Deal. Guys, good to have you with us here on the show.
It's great to be here.
Thank you.
And coming off a pretty good weekend in Memphis, go 2-2 against the Christian Brothers there, and picked up a couple pretty good wins out of that trip.
Yeah, I thought, that first weekend's always kind of an unknown. You know, you don't know how you're going to react getting outside for the first time, facing outside competition. Obviously, when you have a Hughes Fieldhouse, it's great to be in and be able to prepare in there, but it's just not the same as a game situation outside. So, you know, I think our guys have to transition their eyesight a little bit because it's tougher to see outside when you're used to hitting in Hughes Fieldhouse. Hughes Fieldhouse for us, the turf is really slow, so our ground balls are quite a bit slower than either a natural surface or a baseball turf situation. So, you know, being able to go down there and have a little bit of success, I thought was a great beginning of our season.
And Caden, when you talk about eyesight adjusting a little bit to being outside, I think you pretty much did that going 500 for the weekend. Five hits and three RBIs, five runs scored. Pretty good weekend for you.
Yes, sir. I felt good this weekend. The adjustments that you got to make going from inside to outside is definitely present in there. But I think we all did a good job this weekend, kind of just focusing on getting good pitches to hit, especially after that first game. I think we had kind of first game jitters, kind of doing stuff that we're not usually doing in scrimmages or kind of outside maybe during the regular season as much in the past years. But it was good, and I thought we did great this weekend. That last one was a stinger, but it is what it is. Good thing to kind of reflect on and learn from it, so going into the rest of the year.
Yeah, I imagine it just really felt good to get outside, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful in Memphis. I loved it, so it was great.
That's not a bad destination to start your first weekend of the season as a coach.
No, it's, we had great weather, good competition, and we're planning on going down again next year.
Yeah, what were some of the biggest things that you felt came out of this weekend for you?
Well, I think we learned a lot about ourselves. Caden did not start game one. We pinch hit and brought him in halfway through game one, hit a hard line drive. We knew he was going to be in the lineup the next day, whether that was in the outfield or catching, and wanted to get him a couple of bats on day one. And then day two, he came out and really showed, what he could do on base five times, laid down some bunts. And, you know, I think the biggest thing about Caden is he helps us win in a lot of different ways. You know, he doesn't have to hit a double or hit a home run to score runs. I think, I think he had at least two, maybe three hits on drag bunts. He steals bases. He runs the base as well, plays great outfield, and he's one of our top catchers as well. So, you know, he just has a lot more weapons than a lot of guys in our lineup. And I think, you know, what we saw the opening weekend is we need to have those weapons on the field to help us score runs.
I would imagine, too, that gives you a little bit of versatility where you can either put him in the outfield or put him behind the plate, just depending on your needs there.
Yeah, and I think how that helps is getting other bats in the lineup. You know, it's we don't want to go through a three- or four-game set using the same catcher just because I think they wear out over the course of the year. So, we want to rotate those guys, keep them fresh throughout the year. But, you know, if Caden's going to be catching, we can get another outfielder in. If Caden would be in the outfield, we can play a different catcher, maybe a different DH. So there's a lot of pieces that can be moved around when we have guys that have that versatility.
Caden, as far as your perspective on defense, does it matter where you're at just as long as you're in the lineup there?
No, it doesn't. I'll do anything to help the team win, and if they need me in the outfield that day, that's what I'm willing to do. I definitely have experienced that you got to kind of focus differently at each spot, maybe in the outfield, not focusing on pass events as much as, like, when I'm catching, I can kind of forget about it and just kind of go pitch by pitch. In the outfield, you got a lot of alone time out there. You got time to kind of think about what you did wrong or what you did right. So just adjusting to those and kind of, like, finding the mindset of the day with where you're playing at is pretty important. And I think I've done a pretty good job the past couple years doing that, and definitely have learned throughout my career how to kind of adjust to whatever situation I'm thrown in. So.
What are some of the main things that, as a catcher, you want to do to work with the pitching staff and make sure that you're on the same page with all the pitchers?
I'd say keeping your pitcher confident is a big thing. I think is very important. If they're out there nervous or worried about maybe the mistakes they've made in the past or failing on the mound or whatever bad thoughts that are going through their head, you just got to get them to clear it and make sure they're focused on pitch by pitch and their process, and just kind of keeping them in that same mindset of competing every pitch. So
hey, you almost have to be kind of a psychologist out there as well, don't
you?
Oh,
yeah. Sometimes it gets tough. Each player is different. So, like, in the past, we had Spitzmiller. He kind of did his own thing. You didn't really have to, you know, tell him anything different. But maybe with a kid like Zach Weiss or someone else that we have on our staff, you got to treat them a little different or talk to them maybe a little different in between innings, in the dugout or just pitch by pitch. So.
And how does catching affect as far as your plate appearances? Well, I know there's so much physically that's required of a catcher as well. Does it take a toll at all when you go to the plate, or is it the way the season plays out and the way the coaches usually, that's not much of a factor?
I don't think it's as much of a factor with me. I think if I'm catching multiple days in a row, like a couple years ago I caught a few like three-game sets, and I definitely noticed at the end of the weekend maybe like I felt a little bit slower getting down to first base, or maybe getting bad jumps at first or second just because like maybe my legs aren't there as much. But overall I think throughout the years I've gotten a lot better at conditioning my legs and just getting ready, and obviously playing the outfield can help with that too. And it's just is what it is, and I'm glad I get to play both positions, and I like adjusting game by game. So
Coach, as far as the pitching staff right now, what's the biggest impressions you had out of the first weekend with your pitchers?
You know, I think our middle relief really stepped up. You know, we're about maybe one or two arms short, especially when you play four games in a weekend instead of three. So we had some guys step up in the middle of our games that got some holds for us so we could get to our a little bit deeper on our top-end bullpen guys. So that was a really nice surprise for us. You know, I think we got a couple guys that maybe were a little bit off their game, but they're veterans, and they're gonna get back on it and figure it out this week. So I thought we were solid the whole time. I think we still have to throw more strikes. We got to pound the zone with I think we got to low cut our fastballs a little bit. We'll work on that today at practice. We have a little scrimmage that we're going to go through and get some guys back on the mound. So, you know, I think it was a solid weekend, but, you know, it was great to come out of there with a couple wins and also know what you need to get better at going into the conference play.
Well, and you look at this week, I guess a little warmer temperatures here, able to get outside a little bit and practice this week then?
Yeah, our field's in great shape. You know, we'll scrimmage today. We have no mud, not a lot of moisture, even after all that snow melted off. We're in great shape. So to be able to get outside this early in February is any day we'll take it. So looks like it might turn a little bit colder next week, but, you know, we'll figure that out when we get back home. But, you know, certainly any day you can get outside in February is a good day.
Yeah, as crazy as it is, it probably had a better day today than maybe you might have in mid to late March or early April right now.
Yes, unfortunately, and you probably just jinxed us right there. So I better not put the long underwear away quite yet.
Yeah, probably not. Caden, as you coming from O'Fallon, Missouri, I would hope anyway that you're a Cardinal fan.
Oh, yeah. Huge Cardinal fan, huge Blues fan. Yeah. Not a Rams fan, though.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you there a bit, but Cardinals a little bit of a rough season last year.
Oh, yeah, that was tough to watch. But, I mean, playing college baseball and playing all these years, you learn that sometimes stuff happens and they'll bounce back. They're a pretty good organization, and I think they got a lot of weapons. So I think it'll be a good year this year, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And coming from O'Fallon to Maryville, just talk about the process of being recruited in Northwest Missouri State.
I got recruited here summer in between junior, senior year. I came up for a workout. We did like a little pro-style workout here, and I remember texting back and forth with Skip and Kreese, and I came up for a visit against Missouri Southern, and I think the Northwest football team blew them out like 60-0 or something, and it was a good time. I really enjoyed it. I fell in love with the campus right away, loved it, and I just thought it'd be a great fit for me, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that was given to me, and I'm grateful to still be here doing it. So
academically, what's your focus?
I'm getting my master's degree right now in business analytics and finishing that up, so I'll be done with that here in the spring.
Well, one thing that always amazes me about a lot of the spring sports, and baseball in particular, with the amount of games that you have and the travel involved during the spring, is how you guys are able to keep up your grades and do as well as you guys do. And again, with your master's degree going on here, I mentioned that's even tougher than a lot there.
Yeah, it gets tough at times, but with the right load management and, you know, taking care of your schedule and prioritizing time efficiently. So I've had a good time in my master's program. I'd honestly say I had more work in my undergrad degree because we got like 7-week courses and master's class. So it's kind of not too bad during the season. But, it's still a lot of work. But, I mean, it's part of it, and it's part of being a student-athlete.
Yeah, Coach, too, I think when you talk about those things, one of the skills that most athletes, I think, develop is just time management. They learn how to manage time maybe better than others.
Yeah, I think, especially in the spring, you just mentioned it, it's a grind. We miss almost every Friday. Of course, these long trips, we also miss Thursdays. And then we'll get into our midweek games and missing a lot of Tuesdays and maybe Wednesdays. So we miss a lot of class, but our guys are awesome in the classroom. I think we're close to a 3.4 GPA last year as a team, even though we lost, missed a lot of days of class. So they keep up on their load work. You walk into any hotel, there's probably 20 guys studying in the lobby at any given time. So, and that makes my job a lot easier, is having great kids and great students, that we don't have to worry about that piece because they take care of that on their own.
All right, back on the road this weekend, head south this time to Arkansas, Arkadelphia, to match up with Henderson State. Just talk about what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Henderson's got a great program. They're going to be solid in every phase. They're going to run some great arms at us. They're going to play great defense. I haven't seen a lot of power out of them as in recent years, but they got some guys that can swing it and run. You know, it's going to be a good matchup. You know, we're going to have to clean up a few things and pitch well and battle them. But I think, you know, coming off this past weekend, our guys have a lot of confidence going into the weekend and ready for that matchup.
All right, well, Coach and Caden, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you, John.
Again, Caden Deal and Darren Lowe with us here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back, and we've got more coming up from the Palms right after this. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show as we now turn our attention to tennis as the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams got off to a good start this past Sunday down in St. Joseph at the Genesis Indoor Tennis Club with wins over Missouri St. Louis. And Mark, that's a pretty good way to start your season.
It was a good day. John, thanks for coming to the match too, by the way. We had some people down there watching, and Missouri St. Louis is much improved, so that was a good Division II match. And of course, like any sport, the first match is always a little bit of jitters and stuff.
Yeah, Genesis is a busy place down there with I think a junior tournament,
and USTA tournament, yes,
and some of the normal things they do on weekends as well. So
Shanky's doing a great job down there getting people playing tennis there in the St. John's surrounding area.
Oh, no doubt about that. And we're also joined on our show here today by Martin Sanchez as well as Angela Marino here on the program, and it's great to have both of you here on the show.
Thanks, and thank you for having us.
Oh, it's good to have you here.
Thank you, John.
And, boy, what a good weekend that was for you guys. How much fun was it just to finally get out and play some matches after playing indoors at the Hughes, maybe getting down to St. Joe to practice a little bit indoors as well, to finally get out and play somebody other than your teammates?
Yeah, honestly, it was great. Personally, for me, it was my first dual match in, like, almost 2 years because last year was the assistant coach. So, it was great. It was great to be out there, and it was a great start as well. So I'm really happy for it.
And Angela, for you, how much fun was it to finally get out there and play?
Yeah, it was really fun. We were all really excited to start the season again, especially, I think, juniors, seniors, that we know what is going on during the season. We were really excited to start. And we did win the match, so even a better start.
Oh, no doubt. And really, on the women's side, too, it looks like you've got a pretty experienced group that you can build around this year.
Yeah, so we have 4 seniors, a junior, and then we got 3 new players. So, yeah, we have a really experienced team, and we hope that experience is going to help us throughout the season.
And, John, what Martine was alluding to, I've got to tell you this little story, but it just cracks us up every time. But Martine was our graduate assistant. He's a graduate student in his master's degree this year. But he had one more year of eligibility to play. And so, you know, all the rest of the teams know him as the graduate assistant coach. And now this year he's back with his uniform on and playing again after a year layoff. And I know Washburn really enjoyed seeing this. And then, well, he's the co-captain. No, he's a player. No, he's the assistant coach. No, he's the bus driver. You know, he does it all. Yeah,
I tell you that. Now, that's versatility right there.
It is, indeed.
So, Martin, did you get a chance to kind of understand things a little more as an assistant under Rosie last year and then now coming back as a player? I imagine you got to know Mark a little bit differently last year than you did as a player.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, we spent so much time together, office hours, trips, long trips. It was we built a different relationship with coach, so I'm really glad we got into there. And then, like, going from being assistant coach and going back to the court, it's like you see things differently, much more experience. You know every player because you're on court with every different player, not only your opponent. So honestly, it's a great experience. So I'm really excited for what's coming there.
How hard was that for you last year? I know, as being a player, you're always a player. As far as being a tennis player, to just have to sit back and watch when you still have that competitiveness in you there a little bit.
Yeah. I was watching all the guys, and inside of me, I was like, one thing is you can tell the guys what to do, but it doesn't depend on you, you know? Like, you just tell them what to do. But now it's on me. You know, I'm on court. I'm the one making decisions all the time, so I think I had that fire in me that's why I wanted to come back on court.
Mark, how much of an advantage out of it now is for Martin, who's been a coach, for you to be out there and be a player as well? Does that kind of give you a little help as far as coaching this year even?
Well, I think it does. I think it gives us another coach around on the courts because he's been there and playing and so forth. So really, it's just a compliment to have him out there where he's able to play, you know, and then still help as far as he can go on court coaching. with either team because everybody knows him and likes him, and they respect him is the bottom line.
And, Angela, again, as you look at this particular season, what are some of the things that you have as a goal set for not only you but for the team this year?
Well, our goal every year is to get to the regional tournament, which we did last year, and maybe do it as well as we did last year or even better. If we could qualify for the national tournament, that would be amazing. But like our goal set is to qualify for the regional tournament and obviously to the conference tournament.
What were some of the things that you kind of learned from last year to when you made that leap to get into the regional tournament and things that you think will pay off for this year?
Well, definitely the experience of going match after a match after a match with the same mentality of like, I'm going to go and I'm going to play my best and hopefully I can win the match. And as Martin was saying, we know, being a senior, I know a lot of the players. I know how they play. I can help also my teammates with the experience that I have, with what helped me throughout these years. And yeah, I'm very happy to play another season.
And John Angela is also a co-captain with a ton of experience. So we do have some of that.
And to talk a little bit about what she brings to the team from a competitive standpoint, as well as being a co-captain, some of the things you're looking
for.
Yeah,
well, very mature. She's an excellent student, which they all are, but you know, she's very serious, has been since the day she got here, about tennis and her academics and all that, as far as wanting to have a great experience, a good team person, which is always important and will be more as the season goes on and so forth. So just to have that, and again, just like Martine, it's like for me having another assistant coach where I can't be with both teams at the same time, so it's certainly great to have her around.
You know, you talked about being an excellent student, and we'll talk a little bit about this as well with Coach Lowe and Caden Deal just a moment ago. From the spring sports standpoint, the way you guys have to juggle your classwork as well as the work on the court or on the field, because you're missing some time in the class because of just the way the schedule of spring sports goes. But you look at the academic side, just some great GPAs that your teams are putting up.
Incredible, John. And this has been going on year after year. I've been here for 40 years. And I mean, it's not me, you know, people, oh, you're doing a great job. Well, I hope I am, but it's them. They're the ones that put in the work and finagle their classes around. Because, you know, in tennis, you know yourself, you know, we're getting rain outs and matches are changing at a moment's notice. Practices each day, where are we practicing? Hughes, are we going down to St. Joe? What are we doing? Are we going outside? And that just continues with all the matches and stuff until the weather gets better. Fortunately, our spring break is that's where we schedule many of our matches, and we don't miss any class then, so that always works well for us.
Yeah, you had the opening weekend down in St. Joe at the Genesis Club that we talked about. You guys had an opportunity to go down there and hit a little bit. I would imagine that's a little bit of an advantage, having an opportunity to play at that particular facility, just a little bit more than what Missouri St. Louis had coming in.
Yeah, it's a big change on the surface. That's why good thing we had good weather last week, also this week, so we can at least play in hard court. And then, now that we had our first match, second match going indoors, I think in Kearney the courts are a little bit slower, so I think that's also going to help our team.
And that makes a difference, too, just kind of knowing the courts. And some people might think, well, the courts are a course, regardless of where you play, but that's a little bit of a difference you have to adjust to as well.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we love Hughes. That's been a tremendous addition for our tennis programs and all the athletic sports here. But the surface in there is a slow surface, and it is not the same as a hard court. So, you know, before you have a match or whatever, you got to go try to play on a hard court somewhere just so they can, you know, understand how fast the ball is moving and so forth. But again, we've got a place to practice, which a lot of Division II schools do not have.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you had a win on the men's side, 4-2 over Umsl, and then the women 5-1 win this past weekend. What are some things you really learned about the team this weekend?
Well, we're just trying to figure out doubles teams on the men's side. We lost a player at semester, a portal thing, but. We're trying to figure that out. And then the women's, we're pretty set on our doubles. We got that established last fall. So we're just trying to kind of bounce it around in singles a little bit. I'll be changing the lineup a little bit here and there. until we get to about the middle of the season. Then hopefully we're going to go with something we can stick with, providing we don't have any injuries.
Yeah, that's always a big key as well, no doubt about that. Angelo, you come in from Spain. Zara goes to Spain, I believe. Just talk about your path to arrive in Maryville, Missouri.
Well, it's a different ride, that's for sure. I come from a place where it's pretty hot. I came, 2020 was my first year here, and 2020 was a pretty cold winter as well as this year. I mean, this year I think it's been the coldest winter we've ever had. So it's different. I'm just adapting throughout the years to get, I don't know, warmer clothes, to try to go inside as much as possible. But it's definitely a change.
And, of course, Martin, you come from Argentina. Just to talk about that transition.
Yeah, same thing. In Buenos Aires, I mean, I never seen snow before. So coming here, I think the first week was snowing, classes canceled. It was like, oh, wow, this is a big, big change. And especially this spring, it's, like she said, it's the coldest one. But you get used to it.
You know, Angela's freshman year, it's funny, things I remember. But it was, we were starting practice, and it might have been the first couple practices in August. And you know how hot it is around here. It's over 100 degrees. The humidity is horrible. And she was playing a challenge match, and man, I wasn't doing anything except walking around, and I'd lost about 10 pounds of sweat that day. And it wasn't bothering a bit. This is the things coaches notice sometimes as far as the heat and stuff. And I thought, you know, that could be helpful. And in the fall, she went on and had a good fall.
Well, and coming from Spain, a few pretty good players come out of Spain, I believe. So kind of a tennis hotbed there.
Yeah, we have a lot of tennis players over there.
Yeah, there's probably this guy named Alcaraz. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Alcaraz, yeah. He's a year younger than me, and I've actually seen him in a couple tournaments back in Spain. I was never as good as him, but...
All right. Well, let's talk about what's coming up for you, Mark. Back on the road this weekend. I think Martin mentioned this just a bit, but in Kearney, Nebraska, they've got some new indoor courts there and an opportunity to face Colorado Mesa, I believe, coming in.
Yeah, John, I'm glad you brought that up. We are going to Nebraska, Kearney. Now, here's what can happen sometimes. The university got together with their community. You remember Jake Salisbury was up there coaching at the time, and they raised whatever it was, $7-8 million, to build this facility actually on campus. Six beautiful courts, and I mean, they've got offices and fitness places and all that to go in it. But it was basically set around tennis, not just the college team, but the high school team and the junior program and so forth. So that's the hub. Well, what's happened now, like the tournament we're going to this weekend, what is there, about 7 or 8 teams that are going to be playing all weekend? Yeah. And they actually hosted the national ITA, was it on the women's side, the last 2 years, which is, that's a big deal. Now, this is great for our league, you know, because you got tennis, you know, boosters and tennis enthusiasts are really getting in on this. And what it also did was they brought back their men's tennis team at Nebraska Kearney after they had cut it. This never happens, okay? But because they had the facilities, like, okay, we're going to have a facility. I guess we better have a team too. And so, and they've got it. They did a great job recruiting, fully funded on the scholarships and all that. So, Mike Racy's done a great job on the men's side. We were just talking about that as far as he actually saved the MIAA, the men's, with the way the teams have changed around. And now we're going to be up to about 10 teams now with the Arkansas and Oklahoma teams. So this is just fantastic for men's tennis.
Yeah, when you look at UNK adding men's tennis, that's good news for Northwest Missouri State. And people might not understand that as far as the men's program.
Absolutely.
But you got to have teams to play. So,
and they really have pretty much the same sports as us if you go down and look at it. Yeah.
All right, well, that should be a good weekend for you guys, and looking forward to watching you throughout the season, and it should be another fun year for both the men and women.
Well, thank you, John. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Martin Sanchez, along with Angela Permarino, and the head coach of the Bearcat men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell, with us. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers Oil carries a full line of feeds from Purina and Land O'Lakes, along with gates, water tanks, and bulk bins to fit a variety of needs. More information at ConsumersOilMaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at ConceptionAbbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. We're being joined by Bearcats Jana Green and Emma Atwood. Appreciate you coming on and talking with us. And big win over the weekend, knocking off number 16, 15, Fort Hays. They're a top 25 team. A win over the Tigers. It's been a while since the Bearcats have beaten Hays. 2017, you guys were still in high school. 2017, yeah. Right? Or middle school? It's been a while. It's been a little bit. How big is that when we think about just how far this team's come and knocking off Fort Hays and a chance to really take some momentum down the stretch?
Yeah, I think that was a huge win for us. And then, obviously, I think we dominated from the get-go, and that was something we really talked about going in before the game, was just punching first. And so I think we really did that. And defensively, that was our best game of the year. And then offensively, we really talked about getting it inside a lot. So I think we started doing that right away. And then obviously that opened up room for our shooters. So I think it just worked out all around for us.
Jana, Emma talking about coming out and throwing the first punch and grabbing that momentum and running with it. It's not an easy thing to do game in and game out in this league, but obviously we've done it. You've had a lot of success. How do you kind of build on that now as we do head into Emporia and Washburn coming up this week?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in our league, you'll get anyone on any night that's going to come and play. So, I don't know, just kind of like not looking at their records and knowing that no matter who you're playing, they're going to come after you. And especially after we beat good teams, like, we're not sneaking up on anyone anymore. So, yeah.
The emphasis on getting the ball inside. You two in particular, I felt like, did a great job of connecting some passes from Emma, Janie, bringing them in pretty deep and getting some layups. Something you do in practice. It's not always easy to execute, especially when you've got, you know, 6'3 post player inside you're working on. What is it about the connection between you two, but then also just able to execute that in a game like that?
It's that roomy connection.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 5 years now. We know how the other one works, what they eat, everything. But yeah, I think Coach Guest really emphasized the day before just getting it inside, and kind of like I said earlier, that opens up other things once we start doing that. And so that's something we really work on, is just working on our post seals and driving people up. And then, I mean, if it's not there, swing the ball and find another angle. And so, yeah, we just really focused on that, and I think we executed it really well.
And so much of it, too, is about being able to come out. Coach Meyer in the house today, too. Being able to come out and not only make that pass, but then finish, too. And against Kearney, it felt like there were some opportunities inside and out that just didn't go down.
Yeah.
That was not the case at all on Saturday. Everything was finished. Jana, in particular, as a post player, getting one or two to fall, building that confidence, it felt like that kind of grew for everybody throughout the day.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And, like, it's easy to come out into games and, like, let's shoot a layup first, or, like, sometimes, like, the three-pointer is open early in the game, but, like, if you can see the ball go in the net early, it kind of helps everyone's confidence.
A 14-point victory over Fort Hays. Now you head into Emporia State. So you come off the best offensive game, potentially. Not the best offensive, but still, things are really clicking for Northwest against Fort Hays. You go against a team that had one of the worst offensive games, but you still find a way to win it in overtime, 55-48 against Emporia State back on December 16th. What was it about the Hornets on that particular day that some things just weren't working, but you still found a way to gut that one out?
I think ultimately it came down to our defense. I remember that game in the locker room, we maybe made...
We were like 1 for 20.
It was, yeah. It was really not a good shooting night for us. So, I mean, I don't really remember a lot if we got it inside. I think it was ultimately like a good defensive game for us, and that's honestly a game I look back to a lot, was when we are locked in on our defense, it doesn't really, we obviously want to shoot well and execute on offense, but even when that isn't occurring, if our defense is locked in, then, I mean, we can still win games. So I think that's a good one to look back on and see that we are still capable to pull that win out without shooting the ball well. And so now just being able to piece that with our defense and still having a good defensive game against Emporia.
By far one of the grittiest wins of the season coming against Emporia the first time. Jaina, playing a wide auditorium, not an easy place to go. What is it like going in there? It's kind of a cool older facility, but and typically they field some good teams. They've been pretty up and down. They beat Pittsburgh. They've lost to Newman. They've been all over the map. So how do you gauge this one heading in?
Just treating it like any other game. Urmeyer said yesterday, if we need to have the mindset that every team is Fort Hayes, then let's have that mindset. So I think also going in, just knowing like there is no option, like just get the job done, like do what you need to do. Like these games are going to be huge down the stretch. So just going in and knowing that, like, just win.
So you two mentioned you've been here for 5 years and had a lot of time together. Over the last 13 years, Northwest has had double-digit conference wins just twice. One of those already coming this year. The other was 2021-2022. So you guys have been a part of both of those teams. There's still a lot more to be had this season. But you kind of start to think about that, especially as players that have been around this program and you've seen some tough lows, but now getting to the highest of highs, just kind of how far things have come to where, you know, the young players on this team really don't know what it's taken to get to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. It's crazy to think that we're just talking about how senior night's a week from this Saturday. And so, I mean, it's neat to look back on. And obviously, when we came in as freshmen and sophomores, the girls above us also helped build that program up, and they were great leaders. And so I think we really just bought into that. And I mean, we were young last year, and I think that experience we had together has really showed this year that just our team chemistry on and off the court can really, like, help produce those wins. So I think that's just something everyone's really bought into, and it's really neat to be a part of.
Take me through the dinner party last night with some Northwest basketball alums, Candace and Alexis Bay. It seemed like there were some interesting games happening.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They put together like a taco bar for us, and then we played kind of like Minute to Win It, but obviously got a bit competitive because everybody likes to win. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We did like, I don't know, like celebrity couple, like Valentine's games, like celebrity couple games. We did like sweet tart games. We did like a word scramble. It was a lot of fun.
It was good.
Who excelled? Like, was it teams or individuals?
It was teams. We were four teams.
Yeah, we had four people on a team. Mm-hmm. And we really thought we had it in the bag. We had a good lead, but then they come around in that last round where you can wager your points. Mm-hmm. So then we got tied with someone and we lost a tiebreaker. Yeah. But we were skilled in the beginning. Mm-hmm. At the, I don't want to, like, the more action-filled games,
yeah.
And then towards the end, it was like a word scramble, mm-hmm. and all these word games, and then we really went downhill, and the other team thrived, so
yeah.
We definitely had our strengths
yeah.
and weaknesses, but.
As you guys get older, you'll find yourself doing more crosswords, and be like, man, I should have done this earlier.
Seriously.
It would have worked. All right, last one. Roommates, you spend every day together, you're at practice, you're in teams, like you mentioned last night. Do you ever get sick of each other?
Jada might answer different. I'm just kidding.
I don't think so. I mean, also, yeah, we see each other at practice and at home, but a lot of times we don't see each other during the day. So maybe like when we get home is when we have our time, and then I don't know.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do next year when you don't
cry myself to sleep?
I don't know.
I already can't think about it.
Get on a group FaceTime call.
Yeah, we've already discussed we're gonna do a group FaceTime like once a week at least, and keep each other in the loop. So
technology's made it possible. Why not?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank goodness.
Well, appreciate the time. Good luck tomorrow, Northwest and Emporia State on the road.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Janie Green and Emma Atwood with us. Northwest Missouri State basketball. The Bearcats taking on Emporia State with a 5:30 tip-off tomorrow for the women's game. We'll take a break and be back with Northwest Track and Field on KXCV KLRNW.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Millen Dinsdale Seed in Maryville and Oregon. Millen Dinsdale is proud to have former Bearcat offensive lineman Tanner Owen on the team as a crop specialist. To contact Tanner, Aaron, or the rest of the crew, MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers a variety of tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The Design Center is open Monday through Saturday and is online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
We're back here at the Palms on KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We are talking at Northwest Missouri State Track and Field. The Bearcats coming off the Bearcat Invite, now getting set for a couple meets this weekend, one down at Pittsburgh State, one over at Washburn. So some contingents going to each for this weekend. But we're joined by head coach Brandon Masters, as well as Kaylee Harp, a junior indoor track and field athlete for Northwest Missouri State. Coach, you want to see a big meet for both the men and the women going into this week in the Bearcat Invite and hit some marks. 23 provisional qualifiers coming away with the weekend. Obviously, is you can't quantify it just on that, but what's your takeaway overall?
Well, it's a big meet for us. We tune up for a little bit. It's a chance to get some national marks at personal bests. Training lines up. We line it up to make sure that they feel pretty good and have an opportunity to hit some of those marks. You know, it's a big meet, most competitive meet that we host. 1,000 athletes, 40-some teams, something like that. And you can always compete at a little higher level when you're doing it at home as well.
Kaylee, knowing going in that this is kind of set up for Northwest to come out and really put together a good meet overall, show out well hit there at the Hughes Fieldhouse. You're an All-American. You've been in the national championships, MIAAs year after year as well. When you go into that one, just kind of knowing there are some stakes of trying to hit a certain mark, hit a certain time, does that add a little more pressure? Or as a competitor, you've been around it.
Yeah, I've been around it. It's like you always have a little pressure, but it's like you've done it before. You know you're capable of doing it because you've gone through all the training that's so much tougher. And so it's like you just got to do it that day. So it's like just go out, run your race, hit your times, and it'll just, in the end, it comes together and you get your mark.
Overall, you have a special day. Yeah, you hit a mark in the 800. That 4x400 women's relay is just off the charts once again this year. You hit a mark there, too. Do you walk into Hughes Fieldhouse on Saturday feeling pretty good? Like, we're going to do something special today.
Yeah, every day it's like we put in the work every single day at practice. So, you know, come the weekend, it's like it's going to be a really good day for everyone. And it's just great for not only myself to hit the marks, but to see everyone else do it. And especially in the relay, it's like just watching it come to the end. It's like, we did it. Yay.
Coach, so much of this sport is the mental side too, and making sure you're in the right headspace, especially if you've got multiple events going on in one day. You see a student athlete like Kaylee, just what sets her apart?
Well, it's a work ethic, right? I mean, we practice every day. I know what she's capable of doing. We have one-on-one talks a lot during practice and saying this is what we need to do. And she knows, coming in, she knew what she had to do. She's got to set up the 800 through the 400. And, you know, you got to get to that 60-61 mark through the 400 and then push. And that's a hard thing to do, but Kaylee's able to do that. She had some ladies in the race too that would be able to push her, and so I knew going in we had a shot to get a nice mark for nationals, and she pulled it off. So,
and ultimately, Kaylee coming away a 2:10.46 seconds provisional qualifying mark in the 800. That's the fourth fastest in Division II this year. You've been around, you've ran the indoor national championships before. I think you've even run slightly faster than indoors before, too, in the 800. But that's just your second time running it this winter. Does it feel like, all right, I've been around, I've got experience, I can get even faster?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We got some goals this season to drop a really big, nice mark, indoor and outdoor. We'll get there. It'll be really nice. It's just, when the time comes, it's there.
It takes time, right? I mean, Kaylee knows that the first one's going to be hard. It's like, oh, the 800, wow, okay, I'm going to go do it. Let's knock the rust off. And then we had some conversation about what we didn't do the first round, and so she was able to do that this second round, and it just gets better. You have to race the 800. She's going down to Pittsburgh this weekend to run faster. And, you know, I expect her to, because she has – big goals, and we got to keep going. And the more times we race the 800, the easier it gets strategically, and the easier it gets on the body. First time you do it, you're like, oh boy, there it is, the 800. I remember that. A love-hate relationship, right? It's the hardest event in track and field, and 400 hurdles might be in there too. But it's a very difficult event, not only physically but mentally, because when you're the most tired running through the 400 and coach is over there screaming, push now, you're like, really? Do I have that in the tank or what? But she knows how to race, and we know how to do this. We're trained for that. And so I'm really excited about her opportunities this weekend to go ahead and have a little less pressure. Do not be afraid to fail. How many times you heard that, right?
All the time.
Yeah, do not be afraid to fail and go for it, because it's only then that we have the data that we can come together and try to figure out how to put together the proper race strategy. If you're not afraid, you just go for it, and when you fall apart, then we have the data. So this weekend's a little bit different than this past weekend at home. She's got to go down to pit and race a lot of fast people and not be afraid to fail. Take it if she needs to take it. No one's going to run her race for her. She's got to take it. If the race doesn't go out, Kaylee's going to take it.
Coach mentioned that 800, one of the hardest races in track. Whenever you go and you flip to go to the 4x400, where you're cutting in half, but then you also have three other teammates that are relying on you to do your part. Which one, I don't want to say do you prefer, but which one do you look a little bit more forward to as you come down the stretch?
Honestly, they're both a lot of fun. It's really nice to have that individual event, and I find the 800, it's challenging, but I really enjoy it because it's a different event, and a lot of people do struggle to hit it, but like I like live, like thrive off of that. So it goes really well, but then when you're done, it's like you have that team event with the 4x4 with your teammates, and relay is just, it's a different vibe altogether, and I really enjoy it, and I love being able to turn it up and only run one lap instead of two. So they're both different. You can't pick one. It's just really nice to be able to like finish with that with your team at the very end.
You know, of course, that 4x400 outdoor last year, the best of the best, right? But this year, the indoor, it was kind of taking the place of Kennedy Klein, who was in that spot a season ago. As you slide into that, is this just a well-oiled machine, this relay overall?
Yeah, like we all mesh together really well, and it'd be great if Kennedy wasn't injured and she could come back now. But I know that overall, like, we have really close times between Chloe, Kennedy, and me. So no matter who's in it, it's going to be really well, go really well.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough to have a nice group of ladies to be able to fill in if we need to. And, you know, Kennedy's going to redshirt this year, get all ready to go for next year. And Kaylee filled in outdoors. You know, coming off across country, it took me a while to get Kaylee right. You know, that's a lot of running, a lot of distance, and coming in trying to spin up and go fast is tough. So it took a while to get her right, and fortunately we had her ready to go when Kennedy kind of was getting the season was long for her, and ended up you know, we didn't take her to national, she didn't run a national meet, and Kaylee did amazing. I told Kaylee, you need to hit me a 55. And she, you could have run 54.9. She went 55.0. I did my job. But the nice thing is, you know, this year she did not do cross. She was with me the whole time. The speed is there. It's a little bit different year. She's having a lot of fun with that, I think. And she hit 55.2, which is her second fastest split of all time, and she did it indoors in early February. I think we're on the right track to go really fast this year.
So you're going to say 54.9 this year?
Oh, better be. It's you better.
Better be 54 low.
Yeah, let's go low, yeah. Right.
Kaylee, appreciate you coming on, talking with us. Coach Masters, as well as Northwest, getting set for the Gorilla Indoor Classic for a few, and also the Ichabod Invitational coming up in Topeka this weekend. Coach Kaylee, thanks for the time. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Brandon Masters, Kaylee Harp joining us here on the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. That's going to wrap things up for us here from the Palms. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton, saying so long.